From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made last month when employment in the construction industry reached its highest level in more than 9 years. The industry reported 6.87 million jobs. That's up 2.6% over the year. And experts say that number would have been even higher if companies could find qualified people to do the work. Construction and manufacturing firms alike point to a shift in demographics. As older workers retire, they say there aren't enough younger skilled tradespeople to fill the void. What does it all mean for the future of U.S. manufacturing and jobs in the skilled trades? Moving outside of factories, who's going to make up the next crop of construction workers, plumbers, welders, electricians? In a recent poll of adults ages 18 to 25, only 3% said they were interested in construction work. Well, a few local schools are trying to increase that number by offering metal trades programs to students. And my guests this hour are all affiliated with those programs. Two of them are future welders. Matt Cicero, a senior at Livonia Central Schools and a student in the metal trades program. Nice to have you here. How are you?
I'm good.
Well, very keen on learning about your experience and your future, so thanks for being here. Megan Sweeney is here. She's a junior at Churchville Chi-Li Central and a student in the Engineering and Metal Fabrication Program at Monroe Tuboses. Megan, welcome to you.
Welcome.
Also here is Julie Donlin, Assistant Superintendent for Instruction and School Improvement for the Genesee Valley Educational Partnership. Julie, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
And here is Ole Olson, a metal trades instructor at the Mount Morris Career and Technical Education Center. Ole, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
It's timely because there's an event coming up on Friday, and there's a lot to talk about with collaborations and a project. Really cool event coming up on Friday. So real briefly, before we kind of dive into the students' experience and sort of the current state of the market, Julie, why don't you tell us about what's coming up on Friday night?
Yeah, we're really excited about this event on Friday night. It's called Welding for Wellness, and you can check out the details at weldingforwellness.com. And this will be located at Village Gate at 6 o'clock. And the students from the four BOCES in the area, Genesee Valley, Monroe 1, Monroe 2, and Wayne Finger Lakes, all came together and developed some really amazing artwork through sculptures. Those sculptures will be auctioned off this Friday.
The proceeds are going to benefit the 15,000 people served by the Mental Health Association. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right. So it's a great beneficiary. Tickets are $10. And I'm already reading about some of the really cool metal sculptures. I think 73 students have metal sculptures, including a lilac bush, a dream catcher made from the recycled wheel of a corn chopper, and a vase of roses made from the transmission of a Honda. Just for starters?
That's right. People donate scrap metal, essentially, and our students turn it into beautiful artwork. Some of that artwork is furniture, benches, while some other pieces are much smaller pieces that you might find in a garden.
Ole, what's the coolest thing in there?
I can't pick.
It's like picking a child, I know, but
I know,
come on, you got to have a favorite.
Give me
one or two that really stand out to you.
The pet therapy dog is a full-size dog. And the other is our bench. They're all great, so I can't really get put on the spot. My students will make sure that I pay for that.
It's a pet therapy dog, not made of dog, though, right?
It is a full-size, made out of recycled materials.
Metals,
to see it, it is a, it looks like a lab.
Wow.
And to touch the fur, and we talk about the fur as fur, but it is metal, you just want to go up and touch it. And when the two young people that created that were from Geneseo, first-year students, they struggled in the beginning, but as they got to develop, they could see the end, and they did a great job.
Ole, is this a good time? You know, and this is not a softball question like, you know, tell me why it's a great time to buy a car that you would say to a car salesman. I'm curious to know if you think right now is as good a time as you have seen in recent years for students to pursue careers in these fields.
Oh, absolutely. I don't have any concerns about my students. If they come in and they want to learn a trade, all it is attitude. I can teach you the trade, and they will excel. Or you'll have an opportunity to talk to Matthew. He's at SPX right now. His interview got hired on a co-op. His opportunity is so bright, and that's just one of the stories that the students, the success that they have.
There are headlines, articles all over the place about this kind of a skills gap and the concern about, you know, can companies fill it? Now, 538 online pushed back a little. This is the one kind of pushback we've been able to find. So let me read a little bit from this, and then you know you guys can kind of respond to some of this. Ben Castleman wrote a piece for 538 last year saying he doesn't think the evidence holds up to prove that there's a skills mismatch. He says when it comes to manufacturing jobs, companies aren't really trying hard to fill many of the jobs, and one big reason is automation. Factories produce more than ever with fewer workers. So there appears to be a gap, but it's not necessarily holding up in evidence. So, Ole, first of all, what do you think about that?
Well, the students in the program is metal trades, and they're learning both welding and machining. And you think about any of that automation, all of that equipment has to be produced either through machining or through welding. And yes, maybe the final product is a robotic arm that may move something or may set a fixture, but in the end, it still has to be done. It has to be produced by a welder or a machinist. So there is definitely a need. In our area here, the machining area, the MCC program is booming because of the fact that these jobs are there. Many of these students have their job before they even graduate.
They will find work.
That's correct.
What do you think, Julie?
So over the past year, our graduation rate of students in our career and tech program is 96%. So at the very minimum, students who are engaging in skilled trades programs in high school are successful at graduation. From there, and knowing our students' placement rate, we have students going on a post-secondary education with scholarships because they're entering into the trades. Other students are entering directly into the field of work, making $40,000, $50,000 with just a high school diploma. So it's pretty impressive. And within the skills trades, you're gaining a lifelong skill, fulfilling and financially lucrative career, and then many of our local business partners are providing opportunities for advancement. So it's certainly paying off for our students in the Genesee Valley region.
Julie, what do you make of, I think, probably decades long now, rhetoric that students often hear, which is, you got to go to college, you know, STEM, which is nothing wrong with STEM, mm-hmm. but a lot of emphasis on that, got to go to college, got to get your degree. And does that come at the expense of a focus on skilled trades?
Well, I think that's what's created this gap in the skilled trades is that we are pushing students into the college path. And what we know from students entering into the college path is that they're gaining a lot of, budgetary or restraints when they exit college and they can't find a job and then they have to pay their bills. While many of our students entering directly into the workforce or again going on to college in the skilled trades are able to land a job and then they don't have the debt of college loans on their shoulders.
All right, before we turn to the students, you want to jump in there, Ole? Go ahead.
Yes, when we talk about apprenticeship programs, they're generally a four-year additional training beyond the student would receive coming through the Career and Tech Center. So therein is the education that they continue to obtain. And upon completion of that, they're a journeyman pipe fitter, they're a journeyman ironworker, or electrician, tin knocker, carpenter. All of these trades need to have certified welders. So that may only be a small foot in the door. But the education part is still happening for the student.
Before you were an instructor, what did you do?
I was in local 1163, the Millwrights and Pile Drivers local of Rochester, and spent 18 years in the trade before I came inside to teach.
Why did you teach?
Well, I had been teaching the adult ed class for a number of years, and the instructor retired. And at the time, you don't just pluck an instructor off the street and say, can you teach welding? So they asked me about coming inside. And our son at the time was 3 years old, and I said, well, I think this will work. And so I took a cut in pay and absolutely do not regret it. It's been the best decision I ever made.
Did you ever think that you would be a teacher early in your career?
No, not a bit. But I did have a lot of apprentices come through while I was in the trade. So that kind of lent itself to me being able to teach. And, you know, if you want to learn, I can teach you.
Do you, Ole, do you, how do I ask you this? When we've talked skilled trades in the past, we occasionally hear from people who work in skilled trades who feel like their career is somewhat occasionally diminished, that some people, you know, that treat these kind of jobs as sort of lesser than, because we're doing work with our hands at times, which should be valued probably more than. I mean, it's really impressive. But have you ever felt that way? Do you feel like parts of our society maybe have a strange disposition towards skilled trades?
it may have been at one time, but I think now from the readings and the upswell in the skill trades, parents, I think, are starting to listen a little bit more to their students and to their children and saying, I want to go to a career in tech. I want to have a different path for my education. And it works. And you've got two students here that are, they're getting ready to share that with you. And they've done amazing work.
All right. Megan Sweeney, junior at Churchville Chi-Lai Central Schools and a student in the Engineering and Metal Fabrication program at Monroe Tuboci's Career and Tech Education Center. How long you been kind of going down this path? Why, tell me about your educational path and when you decided you kind of wanted to do this.
Well, in ninth grade, I joined a robotics team at my school, which kind of got me looking into machining and becoming more of like an engineer. And then I talked to a classmate of mine who has gone through this program, and he was telling me how much it would like help me with learning how to run the machines so I could get farther in with robotics. And when I decided last minute that I wanted to join and be the program, I had no idea what I was going into with welding, and I had a little of an idea with machining. And when I got there, I really, really enjoyed welding, and now I'm looking into just going straight into a job from high school.
When you were kind of thinking about getting into it, were you already looking down the line thinking about jobs, or what did you think, this seems interesting or fun?
Oh, I was more interested in, was like, oh, this could be fun, and maybe I could do this on the side. Didn't think I would ever want to do it as a full-time job.
What changed about that?
Well, actually, it was the sculpture project, because I figured out, working with my friend, on how we can make our idea come alive, and then I decided to look more into it and see what jobs I could get from it.
All right, so tell us a little bit about the sculpture project then.
I worked on making a butterfly, and we had no idea what we wanted to do to start. Then we decided to look online to see what other people had done, and then we drew out a butterfly. And we're like, well, we'll see if it turned out like our drawing. And we decided to use round stock that we found in our shop that we had never seen touched before. And
you decided to use what?
Round stock that was in the side of our shop. It was round metal, long pieces of it. We cut down to size, and then we used an oxyfuel torch, and we heated it up and bent it into the shapes that were the wings and the body of the butterfly.
And it came out okay.
Yeah, looks really nice.
And that really was kind of the spark for you thinking, maybe I can do more with this.
Yeah.
And what do you see as a future then for you? What's the ideal?
Well, I want to go in, and I want to be a really anything that involves welding. I just enjoy the hands-on work that comes with it.
What do you dig about it most?
I don't know. I get to work with others and kind of take ideas and make them, if I get a drawing, make it actual something in front of me, not just what's on the drawing.
Yeah, the tangible results. That's really cool. You went into this not knowing much about welding.
I didn't know anything.
Who does, really? Did you find yourself learning pretty quickly? Were you surprised about that?
Yeah, I picked up welding really fast, and I was really surprised because I didn't know anything, and I was like, well, hopefully I can learn this quicker than normal.
All right, so Megan, you're the teacher now, all right? I know nothing. Let's pretend I know nothing about welding.
Okay,
I know nothing about welding. help me get started here. What do I need to know to become a good welder?
Well, the first thing I learned was oxyfuel cutting, because you have to cut your parts that you can work on. And then we learned from there the difference of turning up the oxygen, turning down the oxygen, and how it changes the way you cut, and how if you go too fast, the slag that comes off and your cut won't go through all the way.
How many mistakes did you make early on?
A lot.
A lot, yeah. It's the best way to learn, isn't it?
Yes.
How comfortable do you feel with the safety aspects of it?
I feel really comfortable with it just because we're always focusing on it. And if we go in without something on, he reminds us to put it on. And after a while, you just learn that if you don't have your gloves on, you burn your hand on the metal. So after a while, you burn your hand a couple times. You're like, I should probably wear my gloves.
That's another good way to learn. Megan, how much do you think about what your own classmates are? Yeah, I mean, how much do you guys talk about the future? What kind of fields or where are the jobs? I mean, has that been on your mind?
It's been on my mind. I talk about it with my mom a lot. We were on a car ride and we looked it up to see what was out there. But I haven't really talked to other classmates mm-hmm. about it.
So for you, it's one thing to say, you know, I really took to welding quickly. I was surprised by how good I was and how enjoyable it was. And maybe I could do that. It's another to think, this is a smart thing to go into because there are jobs. Do you feel like you will find work?
I feel like I'll find work, yeah.
Around here, if you want.
Yeah. My friend was actually looking, because she's a senior and going into it, so I kind of was seeing what she was applying to and what she was looking at, and then I decided to look more into it, and there's a lot of jobs out there that would work for what I want to do.
You have any friends who ask you about what you're doing?
Lot of friends that ask me what I'm doing, and when I tell them that I want to be a welder, they're all really surprised.
In a good way? In a are-you-crazy way?
In a good way, because they, out of what I normally do, they're like, really? Welding? So
nice to surprise people, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you're doing wonderfully well. I'm going to turn to Matt Cicero, who's a senior at Livonia Central Schools and a student in the metal trades program. How did you end up going down this path, Matt?
Well, I grew up on a dairy farm, and we had, you know, break equipment, so we had our mechanic. He was a welder, and I was always questioning as I grew up, well, what do I want to be? Because I didn't want to be a farmer, even though I definitely support becoming a farmer. It just wasn't my dream. And after a lot of searching, I went just in my backyard and I saw him welding. I said, hey, can I take a whack at that? I thought, oh, this is pretty neat. And I knew there was a trade school that you could go to as you became a junior. I regret that I didn't go as a sophomore to try it out more because I would have more time. But I went as a junior. And I just loved it. It was just perfect. I found the thing where I went in every day, and I was just happy to be there. I was happy to do what it was. There might be drama with kids. There might be a hard project I have to do, but it didn't matter because I enjoyed doing it.
How quickly did you take to it?
Oh, it depends on what I was doing. I mean, plasma cutting, I took it pretty decently. I figured
plasma cutting?
Yeah, it's electricity and air. You strike an arc off of a tip on a, it looks like a little gun.
Yeah,
on a
piece I know.
Of metal. Yeah.
And then, I don't know. Okay.
Oh. and the air blows the metal that's heated out. It's similar to the oxy-fuel cutting she was talking about, mm-hmm. but instead of using burning fuel, you use electricity.
Challenging, or did you feel like you picked that up pretty quickly?
It was pretty quick. I'd say the most challenging for me was TIGging, which is tungsten or gas welding. That's, in my opinion, the most difficult type of welding. It requires a lot more skill. It's one of the higher paid jobs when it comes to welding, because you have to have all these things set up just right. You have to have clean metal. A lot of them run foot pedals, which changes your power of your arc, of your electricity. And you pretty much point this tiny little needle-like tungsten at the metal, and you have to watch real closely as your arc goes across and feed wire into it. It's a completely manual task.
Sounds like it's very precise as well.
It is. It's how you would weld a lot of aluminum. Mm-hmm. There are other foreign ways you can weld aluminum, but it's the cleanest, and it's the nicest way to do it.
Does it simply take a lot of repetition to get good at it?
Oh, yeah. And if you mess up your piece of tungsten that directs that arc, you have to get out and grind a point back onto it. So when the class starts learning it, you just see these kids in waves crawl out of the booths. Just, oh, I got to sharpen my tungsten again. Lines at the grinders. But that's how you get kids who say, okay, maybe this isn't for me. And you get the kids who are like, this repetition, this learning is for me. And I'd say a lot of our class took to it pretty well. And it was great to see. Like, some of our classmates really are excelling in it really well.
What is your best-case future that you can see?
American dream. White picket fence, family, nice house, and I'd say welding, I feel it'll get me there, definitely.
Around here?
Oh,
You want to stay here?
On your point of automated machines taking welding jobs,
yeah.
I understand it, because even the shop I work in has an automated welder, but the more I look at it and the more I've been around it, I worry less, because I see that they can do the job, but they're not at the level yet where they can do the job exactly how you want it always. There'll be times where you need to do something so out of a position, you can never get your robot in there. Pipe fitting is a great example out in the fields. you could run a robot. You could try to, but there's so much could go wrong. You're going to have to call maintenance every day because you're going to run into a rut of dirt. You're going to have it raining on the thing. I really do think that in this area, machining, welding, those trades are open and available for anybody who wants. My shop, mostly older people. There's maybe a couple young guys, 20s, 30s, but the majority's older men. And you really see that in the next 10, 20 years, they're going to be retiring. They're getting too old to do it. And people our age, we're going to be needed.
This is such an interesting point about automation, and I wonder what our other guests think about what Matt is saying. Ole, I'll start with you. You know, he's saying automation, yes, it people see it, there's concern about it, but he thinks this is a field that might be particularly resistant in some ways to it. Do you agree?
Well, in the machining area, we have a lot of CNC equipment, which we have in our shop, and the students learn how to write and understand programs, but you still need that machinist either checking the parts, making sure that the work is being done correctly. So the machinist, his knowledge base has to increase. He's not just a machine operator. He has to be aware of a lot of dynamics with the machine itself and how it's running, how it sounds, and the parts that it's turning out. The one thing about machining is until you change the parameters, it'll give you the same finish. Welding, on the other hand, requires a lot of practice, and Matt talked about it. It takes a lot of practice to get good, and in coming back to the sculpture project, one of the benefits of the project for the instructors is that we get to teach the metallurgy aspect of materials. And not all one process can be welded with one type of welding rod or process. You use different types of material. You got to have different types of electrodes, and that's what the students learn by putting these sculptures together, welding cast iron to carbon steel and copper, welding aluminum. Can't weld aluminum to carbon. And these are elements that are very dry at a post-secondary level, but for a student, it's now meaningful when they're trying to build a sculpture and their parts aren't coming together. They won't hold. They're not using the right process. So now you can talk about it, and they can understand it because it's in front of them.
Julia, how do you feel about Matt's point on whether this is a field that might resist some automation?
Yeah, I think just like anything, there's a time and a place for automation. And if we were going to make one part, the same part all day long, that would be a time to use machinery. But if you're needing critical thinking skills because pieces aren't working together, or you're trying to be creative in solving a problem, or if you were to see the sculptures in our Welding for Wellness project, you would see that there's no way a machine could substitute the work of our students.
Listeners, I'd love to hear from you as we have a conversation about skilled trades. You know, your thoughts on skilled trades, and maybe you're in the skilled trades, or maybe you wish you had pursued it younger. Maybe your kids are thinking about it. 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Matt, I asked Megan, so you got to put your teaching hat on. I know nothing about welding. Help me get started. What would you want me to learn as I become a welder?
The first thing I'd probably want you to learn is that it's not going to be always easy. I'd probably get you started on some stick welding, because it's one of the most universally usable forms of welding. What you do is you have a clamp that runs electricity through it, and you have a rod covered in a powder, a hardened powder called flux. What you do is you take the rod and you strike it on a piece of metal, and once you strike it there, an arc forms of electricity, and it melts the base metal and the rod together, and the rod pulls on the metal, and that's how you'll get the forming when you do it between two pieces. You need to fill in the hole between the two pieces while also fusing to them, and that's how you'll get your weld started. Great thing about rod is you can find it for almost every material, and they come in so many different types. It's one of like the first forms of welding that came out, and it's been lasting. Maybe a few drawbacks are that you're going to run out of rod eventually, which you'll run out of everything with all welding, but you're going to have to continuously switch rods. But I definitely say get started on stick welding.
How do you do, Ole?
Did pretty good. I would have talked a little bit more about the...
I thought it was awesome. Go ahead.
No, he did a good job. He really did. It's a... The practice aspect of it and the consumption of the rod and not changing your angle, your arc length, your travel speed, The chemical makeup of the flux, you kind of skipped over that. Different electrodes have different properties, and you can't choose one electrode for all materials. But Matthew did a nice job.
You want to rebut that? Go ahead.
I'm 18 years old.
I thought it was fabulous, Matt. And you know what? I have to say, I'm just so impressed with Matt and Megan that, you know, just listening to them describe what they're doing and why. I mean, future employers are looking at you guys saying, you know, these are the kinds of people that we want there. And it's just great to hear that you're confident that you'll find work. Our phone's blown up, so let's get our only break of the hour. We're going to come back with Matt Cicero, Megan Sweeney, a couple of students talking about their futures in the fields. Ole Olson's a metal trades instructor at the Mount Morris Career and Technical Education Center. And Julie Donlin, Assistant Superintendent for Instruction and School Improvement for the Genesee Valley Educational Partnership. So let's come back. We'll get your phone calls in. We'll make sure we remind you what's coming up on Friday night. Really cool event there. Have a couple of emails and questions as well. So it's all coming up next. Next on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Wednesday on The Next Connections, we are broadcasting live from the Little Theater, and we hope you will join us in the audience. No cost. Come on down to the Little Theater, starting with the show at noon, both hours from the Little Theater. The first hour, Karen DeWitt, Capital Bureau correspondent, joins us live on the stage. We'll get her experiences. And then in our second hour, we talk to Brian Kolb and Joe Morelli from the New York State Assembly. See you Wednesday at the Little. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Dan in Canandaigua first on the phones. Go ahead, Dan.
I am a huge proponent of your program, but an even huger proponent of skilled trades at age 58, graduating from MCC Optics Technology Program, and seeing on the inside all the skilled trades that go into making optics for the future of photonics, such as glass cutting, glass shaping, CNC work, and even technical fields like interferometry come right out of a two-year degree from high school even. I came after a doctor's degree, but a high schooler can do it with a love of science and math, and the future is bright, and the sky is literally the limit.
You went back, you said at 58 you went back, is that right?
No, I graduated at 58.
Graduated at 58.
Started at, 58 years of age, started at 2014 at MCC to retool, and what a fantastic program.
So no regrets, it sounds like, Dan. Sounds like you feel... Oh. Go ahead.
The program also believes in the youth. There's a program at OptiPro and OptiMax. I didn't affiliate with them. They wouldn't hire me. I was too old, but what they're doing for the youth is amazing.
Some very cool stuff. Well, Dan, thank you. Thanks for the phone call. And I wonder, especially Ole and Julie, how often are we hearing stories like that? People like him saying, I'm 55, I'm going back, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, we actually offer an adult education program. And so Ole is an instructor of school-age students as well as our adult students. Ole, do you want to expand on that?
Yeah.
I just finished the machining program, and it was 12 credit hours for MCC. So these students now have the opportunity to go on for the next semester. Three of the students already have jobs in the field that were offered to them upon completion, and which I think is speaks a lot for the opportunities and for the need of our students. It was entry-level skills that they were given, but it now is the base for them to continue and expand on their education.
Megan and Matt, do you hear that phone call, and do you think I am going in the right direction here? What do you think about what you just heard, Matt?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I know plenty of older people who say, oh, I wish I had gone into a trade. Mm-hmm. Or I meet people who are in their 30s who say, wow, they don't say college was a bad choice, but they say they'd wish they'd gone trades because it would have been a lot easier for them to find work, especially in the area.
30s is not ancient, by the way. That's what I just pointed out.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think, Megan?
I think about the same. A lot of people I know have talked about it, and
yeah.
Exciting.
Dan, thank you for that phone call. Let's get back to the phones. This is Jeremy in Rochester. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Good morning. Great show. Good afternoon. Great show. I'd like to just contribute that I've been 23 years with a company that provides metal to the machine shops and manufacturers in the Rochester area that actually make things. And I can tell you that there are very few shops, if any shops in Rochester, that aren't looking for people with the skills that Matt shift of machinists. They're looking for people with the skills that you can get from the MCC programs. They're looking for people also, strangely enough, that are willing to show up 5 days a week on time and put in a full day's work. But, you know, from a career path, it just really, it really frustrates me that our school system, particularly our high schools, don't give kids the message that you can have a fantastic career in machining and manufacturing and the trades. You don't have to go to college. And I think we're really missing the boat on that as a country.
Well, Jeremy, just let me jump in first of all and say thanks for the phone call and give us a number of things to talk about. First of all, Jeremy's comment, anecdotal, of course, but that's one more little data point as we talk about whether, you know, that 538 piece, are there really, is there a skills gap? Are there jobs to be filled? And Jeremy's saying he's hearing from people and potential clients all the time, and they're trying to staff shifts. And so I appreciate that, Jeremy. And he's got that frustration. You know, Julie, we talked about it earlier this hour, but here's someone who's frustrated with what he's hearing in a lot of public schools, high schools, about skilled trades. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think Jeremy makes a great point, and we try to send the message out by appearing on shows like this and just use of social media and highlighting the successes of our students. I believe that schools are making the shift and promoting the BOCES programs more than they used to, and so that's appreciated. But really, it's students like you've heard from today, them sharing their story with their friends, with families, that will continue to market the program and the need for skilled trade workers. Also, Jeremy mentioned the need for people to show up 5 days a week. That's critically important piece to this. In addition to developing welders, we're also developing those skills in our programs as well. And, you know, teaching students to work collaboratively and communicating effectively with local business leaders. So I credit our students for making the decision to come to the program. They obviously are on a path to success.
I do want to, before I get back to your phone calls, and if you're on the phone, hang there because we got a bunch of you and we're going to work through them for the rest of the hour here. Michael on Twitter says to us, I've been a carpenter for 20 years, make $18 an hour with no medical benefits. A full set of tools to do the work is expensive. How much overhead should employers be responsible for? Safety on the job, lead and fall protection, silicosis, et cetera.
Our students obtain their OSHA 10-hour card. It's part of the what we offer at school, and it is in order to be out on the job site, a commercial job site. That 10-hour card gives a student a base of understanding of safety through fall protection, through hazardous materials, different career paths that require the hazards, and the knowledge of. A lot of these students, when I went for my training, the instructor, he said, well, you know, and he had this written on the board, he said, you are the lifesaver of the gene pool. And I thought, boy, that's a little arrogant. But the more he kept talking, this was a week's worth of training, and it made sense. Megan and Matthew, they've never been out in the field. They don't know the hazards. They've been exposed to, you know, the understanding of it. But physically being on site and having a foreman or superintendent put them in a bad situation, they have enough wherewithal now to say, whoa, wait a minute, I don't have fall protection, or how are we going to have a safe working environment here? They have that knowledge. They're not walking into something that's going to be hazardous.
Well, the other thing I would add to that is there are hazardous sites that we still need skilled workers.
That's
but
correct.
If you're not interested in working in that site, you could also become a salesperson. And if you have a good understanding of welding equipment, that might be a great career path for a student.
All right, very good. Back to the phones we go. This is Rock in Dansville. Go ahead, Rock.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My wife Laurel and I run a gap year program where the educational component is centered in the skilled trades. I've been a builder for 30 plus years, and I mean, I think one area I kind of like to piggyback on that Jeremy touched on is, I'm curious, and I'd like to direct this towards the kids a little bit. You know, the stigma, I think, of heading off to BOCES versus the traditional, you know, four-year college route. I'm curious if they still feel, you know, maybe a little lesser than, like, if you go this route, you're not as capable, perhaps, as the student that does the BOCES program. The other thing I would just like to touch on, I think, is apart from the vocational opportunity I think the great sense of satisfaction of self-reliance. A lot of our students here aren't going to go on and become professional builders, but they come away with a new level of confidence. I mean, to be able to pick up a power tool and use it competently really brings a level of I can do this that's rare. And I also just want to close with saying we have toured BOCES. We brought our kids over and spoke for a while with Oli. And, you know, the resources that BOCES have are phenomenal. And I just wonder if, you know, if all kids shouldn't cycle through at least, you know, one or two semesters in their educational experiences and just be open to what BOCES has to offer, because the resources and the teachers, the people behind it are just phenomenal. So anyway, really interested to hear from the kids on the stigma, or is that declining?
Right,
anyway,
well,
I'm going to hang up and let you guys chew on this a little bit.
Thanks, Rock. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. What do you think, Matt?
So for the stigma, the two parts of it mostly are the people who are looking farther ahead and looking now. The kids will look now and they'll say BOCES is a place where they see a lot of bad kids go. And I've been in my school very heavily trying to get kids away from that thinking. Adults and people in my age, the seniors, really understand how important trades are. And the stigma towards the kids starts to really go away. But the younger ages is where it's really hitting people. Because I'll talk to younger kids and be like, oh, would you be interested in going to BOCES? And they're like, no. And I go, why? That's where the bad kids go. No, that's not where the bad kids go. That's where the kids who are looking for a different education go. And it's not a bad one. It's where you can go and gain trades. Adults, they love it. Almost every adult I've ever talked to says, that's what we need. We need more welders. We need more machinists. People my age, as they start to get closer to college, they look at that bill and they go, maybe trades might have been more towards my league, because they're going for something just to go to college, because that's what their parents said you have to do. And maybe they're not even extremely excelling in the academic side of school. Maybe their science isn't as up to par as they thought, and they're more of a hands-on person. But they're always afraid as they grew up that, oh, well, I have to go to this college. So for the older people, it's definitely not as much of a problem. But I'm more worried about the younger kids who are starting to enter high school and in like the junior high schools, where it's not really talked about as much, and it's just kind of seen, and it's not really explained. And I think that's where some schools might want to push a little harder.
I was going to ask you, to the extent that there is a stigma at the younger ages, where it comes from. You seem to think it comes from a lack of sort of a proactive message about skilled mm-hmm. trades starting early.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Our school, if we have an in-school suspension, they're sent to the BOCES Center because we don't have an area for it. But that's maybe one kid every 3 months.
But people hear that, sent to BOCES.
Sent
to
BOCES.
And they start saying, okay,
mm-hmm.
okay. So, but you're working to correct some of these.
Every time I talk to someone about BOCES, that's what I bring up. I say it's not for the bad kids. It's for the kids who want to succeed.
Well, first of all, we believe strongly there's no bad kids. There's people who make bad decisions at times. But beyond that, and I say this sincerely, everybody who's hearing your voice, you are a model spokesperson for this. It's just fantastic. What do you think, Megan?
Well, I know when I was younger, I didn't really know much about the BOCES program until I hit like eighth grade, and they mentioned it once, and it was like, you can go pick three classes and go tour them and see if you like it or not. And it was never really spoken again. And so I didn't know much about it until someone actually came up to me and started talking to me about it. And then I thought more, I was like, maybe I should look into this, because I was a person that was more, oh, I have to go to college, that's what everybody's doing. But I preferred the hands-on learning, which is what I got there.
And what Rock is asking is, does that make you feel any lesser than compared to your classmates who are going to go to college?
No, because
good.
I can make just as much money as they are with what I'm learning now. And they're going through 4 years of college, and I can go straight into it.
I'm glad to hear you say that. Julie, how do you feel about, you know, Rock's concern and just hearing Matt's story, that maybe with, at the younger ages, sometimes there's a misconception?
Yeah, absolutely. We are actually introducing some new programming at a younger grade level because of that. Number one, to expose students to various careers at the middle level. We have a Camp Hard Hat program, for example, for middle level students to be exposed to the building trades. We have a culinary program. And so at least they'll get the exposure at the young age and the experience going to the BOCES centers.
Okay. Ole?
We have several homeschools that bring in their sixth graders and their eighth graders, and they spend the morning and they decide what shop they want to go to. And they walk in, have no clue about welding or machining, and we put on safety glasses and give them all the proper protective equipment, and they actually get engaged. And at sixth grade or eighth grade, when they walk out, you got to hear them jazzed up. And so it is one way of trying, as Matt said, trying to change that so that they feel they have an understanding. Maybe not a deep understanding, but they've been exposed.
All right, let me get back to your phone calls. Mike in Rochester. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Nice program.
Sure.
I have two parts to this comment. One is can you hear me all right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, one part is having gone to Edison Tech years and years ago, I was lucky enough to have been exposed to all the various trades. They had a program where you went through 6 weeks at different trade, and you basically got to learn a little bit about everything and what's involved, and you knew what your interests were, including the technical sides of electronics and instrumentation and things like that. So that was a real plus thing for me. The second thing in regards to that is that I've traveled all over the world for business, and many countries, industrialized countries of the world, have these dual-track programs. Early on, somewhere between 14 and 16 years old, if you are educated, oriented, and you want to go to college, you go that way. If not, you go to a trade and learn a trade. To be caught in suspension with nothing graduating high school is a very bad place to be. Which brings me to the next item. I also have built and sold four companies, and I can tell you that it is a huge, huge problem getting employees that have the trade knowledge and the basics associated. We as companies end up training these people, and that takes a lot of resources and a lot of time from these people. So I would strongly urge that we look deeper from a government point of view and say, look, we need to kind of look at education a little bit different way. That going to a trade and learning a trade is not anything negative. It's quite the opposite. It's something positive. The alternative to that is to become a college graduate, but then into what? We need trades in a very big way for industry. Anyway, that's my comment. I'll get off at this point. Thank you.
Mike, thank you for the phone call. Ole, Julie, what do you think?
Well, we often hear from employers that they need more skilled tradesmen and women. And so our goal is to partner up with some companies. And for example, in September, we're offering a diesel mechanic program with Marquardt. So we have some excellent business partners who are not only saying, hey, we need skilled workers, and we're willing to step up and help. And they're opening up their company to us to host a classroom actually right on their campus. Gives them the first opportunity to take a look at our students, their skill set, and to hire them right out of the program.
Okay. Ole?
And the opportunities that the students get here at the Career and Tech Centers and where they end up and where they go to, getting back to his point about the training, obviously they have a good understanding, and continued training and education is going to help them. And we need it, business partners as well as educational through New York State and the federal government.
All right, Dave in Fairport, been waiting next. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
It's a good show, excellent show. I just had a quick comment. I used to teach shop in 1963, 64 in Florida. That was when it was called Industrial Arts. And then many years later up here, after many years at Xerox, I retired and I substitute now in technology. And I think the biggest problem we have is what your other caller said. We don't market industrial arts or technology enough in the junior high. In fact, what we've been doing is cutting back on the budget for technology. And eliminating teachers, etc. And there's so many kids that really would get into this if they had an opportunity, and especially if they had an opportunity at a junior high level before they get into senior high. And there's a lot of good programs at like Fairport High School and other high schools for technology, but you don't have the kids getting into it because they don't know about it. And that's the end of my comment. Thank you.
Oh, Dave, thank you. And I have a feeling our guests are going to agree with that. Julie, you're nodding. Go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. I think we need to really draw students in. And so the Welding for Wellness project is one way to do that. So students come in and they start working on these beautiful sculptures, and it's artwork. And then that's where they begin to get the love of the trade.
I mean, that was Megan's story, right? You mentioned that you were doing a sculpture, and all of a sudden it went from something that was fun to you to you thinking, this could be a career, right?
Yes.
And you were sculpting a butterfly?
Yep.
Okay, so if you just joined us, Welding for Wellness is what, Julie?
Welding for Wellness is a fundraising event that's taking place this Friday at 6 o'clock at the Village Gate. And it's the four BOCES coming together, and our students have created beautiful sculptures out of scrap metal, and those will be auctioned off. Again, this Friday, weldingforwellness.com if you want additional details.
About 6 to 8:30 at the Village Gate on the second floor atrium, $10 tickets, and then you get to see all the cool stuff, really, really neat stuff, and what it comes from. I mean, transmissions from cars and all kinds of different sources, right? So you see a lot of really neat stuff. That's this Friday, Welding for Wellness. It benefits the Mental Health Association. And, yeah, it's an entry point for a lot of students like Megan who find that they love it and all of a sudden are thinking about a career. I'm going to get back to your phone calls and squeeze a couple more in, but let me read an email. CJ says, can you speak to whether a two-day workshop has value for someone with an associate's degree who is currently starting to work in building trades? Would you suggest he try a workshop? Why or why not?
A two-day workshop as it applies to my program?
I'm just reading the email, so I'm assuming he knows more than I do about
well,
this.
It would certainly create a spark. When you walk into the shop with the correct PPE on and now you're engaged in even in a two-day workshop, yeah, I think that it would give you an opportunity to experience it and decide, you know, I might want to pursue this. Critical aspects of thinking and the application of math and science tied together, it all happens, and it just happens. But it's something that Matt and Megan can talk a little bit more about that is required. And it just happens again in the program. So,
Matt, you want to tell us a little bit how you feel about that?
Yeah, when you go in and you have to, you know, apply math and science, you don't apply it in the sense of a normal math class or a science class. You're going to apply it very hands-on, and that really changes your perspective on things. If you want to go to a two-day workshop, I'd say do it. I definitely would, because any experience you can get, any practice you can get is welcome.
It just hit me. For every student who's ever sat in a math class going, where am I ever going to use this? You actually are using it there.
Mm-hmm.
It's very exciting. So there's an instant application for you. Let me squeeze in a little bit more on the phone. Allison in Rochester. Go ahead, Allison.
Yes, I just wanted to, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to make a comment that when my son was graduating from high school, he came up to me and saying that he didn't really want like an office job. So he went on and graduated. He went to Alfred that offers a lot of the trade school.
Mm-hmm.
Programs, and he graduated from there, and he's really had a job consecutively because of that.
That's great. And you know what, Allison, this is a perfect example. This is not someone who, you know, again, whatever stigmas are out there, or why people end up either in a BOCES program or going into skilled trades. This is someone who just didn't want to work an office job. I mean, I remember growing up thinking, I will never wear a tie. And now I'm wearing a tie, but I'm wearing jeans. So, you know, I mean, Everybody's got different desires and wants, and it sounds like it really worked out for Allison. I'm going to squeeze one more phone call in. Don in Brighton. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I subbed for about 17 years, and I found a lot of kids when they were taking technology classes because they thought they were going to be easy. And I think we need to sell those classes as being something that are useful. And I found that even teaching math, I always try to point out why they're studying math. It's anything kids don't like to learn for something they think is just going to be easy and not useful. So I think we need to sell all subjects. The teachers need to emphasize how they're going to use what they're learning. And the kids, we should sell the kids on taking the technology classes as being something useful, not an easy way out.
Yeah, it's a very good point, Don. In fact, I wonder if, and Megan Mack, maybe we can check on this, East Rochester does the Life 101 class that's new that you have to take before you graduate, learning financial skills, things like that. I wonder if shop, you know, what we used to call shop or technology, is back in there, because those kind of hands-on skills, even if you don't go into it for a trade, it could be very valuable for your life and very applicable. So thank you, Don. Okay, Friday night, I've got 20 seconds. So Julie, one more time, what's coming up Friday night?
Friday night, Welding for Wellness. Be there. Check it out online, weldingforwellness.com. June 2nd, 6 o'clock, Village Gate, $10 a ticket. It will benefit our students as well as the wellness.
The Mental Health Association.
Mental Health Association. So we'd love to see you there.
They have raised $200,000 for various charities since 2010. Really great project and a program there, and a chance to see some really cool sculptures. So that's the second floor of Village Gate, 6 o'clock if you want to check that out, Welding for Wellness. Julie Donlin, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Really great having you. Ole Olson, Metal Trades Instructor at the Mount Morris Career and Technical Education Center. Ole, thank you to you.
Thank you.
And Megan Sweeney and Matt Cicero. You guys are on your way, and I really, really appreciate you sharing your stories. Thank you for being here, Megan. Nice meeting you.
Thanks. Nice meeting you,
and
too.
And Matt, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Our thanks to Rob Braden, the engineer, and Megan Max, the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a nice afternoon, and we'll talk to you Wednesday at the Little Theater. We're going to be live tomorrow. We're live every day, but live audience tomorrow. Come on down to the Little at noon, and we'll see you there.